the wrath to come. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Good morning. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to repent and prepare for you. Amen. This past Friday night, with the jazz concert, this little church of ours, we completely overran. And you know what? Your jazz music was nearly like an earthquake, bringing the house down. Of course, we all want to grow. We want to be big. We want to be together. So what's the problem? It's the Bible. We all want the wars to end. We want Palestine and Ukraine and Sudan, everywhere, to have peace. And we all know that in order to do that, we need solidarity. We all know that there is strength in numbers and that we need to have global integration. So what's the problem? It's the Bible. Here we have in the Bible this morning John the Baptist calling people out as a brood of vipers, the very people who went to go see him. Maybe John wanted to attract a brood of vipers. There are worse things one can be. Don't we admire sharks? There's a TV show called Shark Tank. Don't we admire predators, lions? I see cars that drive around with bumper stickers that say, lions, not sheep. And isn't there a flag people like to wave that says, don't tread on me? We admire snakes, lions, sharks, predators. Maybe John was saying these people weren't the ones that he thinks are guilty. They're not the problem. Maybe John is preparing his audience for their struggle for survival. They and we will only survive as vipers, as a brood of vipers, if we continue to practice communism with each other, ensuring clothing, food, and safety for one another. We must not be seduced by prejudice or exceptionalism. Think about what John was saying. The exceptional tree is the tree that gets cut down and burned. We don't want to be exceptional. We want to be one of the many trees in the orchard. If we were a tree, we would want to grow and produce along with our neighbors, to be natural. We are obligated to marshal all that we have for our mutual aid and survival. So don't give up. Every action you do matters. We need you to keep going. Now, you might be wondering if there is going to be help from a Savior. Well, it's complicated. Yes, and it's not going to get any easier. Sometimes I think about Jesus resurrecting in the tomb, and I think it was probably more painful than dying. Think about it. Coming back to life after you've been dead has to be one of the most painful things you've ever experienced. Like a woman giving birth and childbirth has to be the greatest pain. New life has to be just as painful. Good, but not easy. This is what John is saying. He's saying, I'm baptizing you with water, but when the Savior comes, he's going to baptize you with fire. Can you imagine being baptized by fire? That's what's going to happen when the Savior comes. The Savior will also be a judge. And so if we are in error in anything, it would be to our best interest to make things right now. There's this ministry that goes by different names. Curcio, Road to Emmaus, Tapestry. But it's a weekend retreat meant to inspire leadership. I attended as a participant some years ago, and it happened to be a Spanish-speaking weekend. Now, food is a very big part of the experience. Dozens of people volunteer just to cook and serve. Perhaps the most important job over the weekend is the head cook. Our head cook was a pastor, a Latina woman, but I didn't know at the time that she was a pastor. Halfway through the weekend, I was exhausted. It must have shown on my face because we got a lecture from the head cook during one of the meals. Have you seen the movie Coco, the Disney movie? Well, in that movie, the little boy is sitting down to family dinner, and his grandma comes up and asks him, Miguel, do you want some more tamales? And he says, no, thank you, grandma. And then she leans in and looks at him and says, I don't think you heard me. I asked if you wanted any more of your grandma's homemade tamales. And he went, sí, grandma, yes, please. And she patted him and said, that's better. It was sort of like that on this weekend retreat. The head cook looked at us and she said, I noticed that some of you are looking very tired and mopey. You need to be happy when you come in here to eat because we're all serving you and working hard. And she looked directly at me and I forced a smile. And she said, that's better. This is what's going on in our readings this morning. Someone told me this past week, they said, you know, I'm having a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit this year. And so consider the words of Zephaniah. The prophet is goading us, insisting that we sing and we dance and we celebrate because God has promised to conquer our enemies, provide for those who are in need, and give us renown throughout the earth. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if that's a bunch of baloney. Is God really doing such a thing? Is God going to make it happen? But maybe that's the point. Maybe we are supposed to pretend that justice is coming, even if there's no evidence to support it. We gotta fake it. Fake it till you make it. Perhaps our greatest weapon is to ignore our enemy and have a party. After all, what is a party if not a redistribution of wealth? What is a party if not idleness and revelry, the very thing the enemy fears? What is it that our enemy wants? Wants us to be afraid, wants us to be mopey and depressed, to not do anything, for us to be slaves, to be passive, for us to toil endlessly, yielding the fruits of our labor to them. So, to destroy our enemy, violence won't work. Violence only strengthens our enemy, gives them more of a reason to hate us. We need to forget about our enemies altogether and treat them like friends. Throw them a party. Force a smile on their face and on our own face, and pile their plates with even more food. Amen. Please stand as you're able.